This is the NCARB podcast, where you get an inside look at licensure, regulation, and the initiatives shaping the future of architectural practice. I'm your host, Andy McIntyre, Vice President of Marketing and Communications at NCARB. And this season, we're diving into Pathways to Practice, NCARB's multi-year effort to rethink how architects become licensed.
Architecture is the hardware to the software of life, right? It is fundamentally about that interaction, and it makes life easier if we have a built environment that works.
Across 8 episodes, we'll explore how licensure got to where it is today and where it needs to go next. We talk with architects, educators, regulators, and NCARB leaders about education, experience, and the exam, and why each of those pillars is evolving.
And that portion of school where you go from conceptual to real is also really challenging. It's not something you're really gently moved into. It's kind of like you're doing something that's flowy and crazy, and all of a sudden, wait, you actually have to make this work.
You'll hear how the NCARB competency standard was developed, how research is shaping future licensure models, and what a more flexible, competency-based approach could mean for candidates from a wide range of backgrounds.
So we've seen that in our data as the number of reciprocal licenses starts to decrease a little bit, but that number of individuals who are licensed holds steady.
We also tackle the big questions. Why does licensure look the way it does today? Where do candidates face the biggest barriers? And how can we expand access without lowering standards?
Not everybody fits into the same mold. And so having different pathways to licensure, I think, is really important.
Whether you're a licensure candidate, an educator, a firm leader, or a regulator, this season offers clarity, context, and transparency into one of the most important conversations facing the profession.
Does this requirement to complete all divisions of the exam place an unfair burden on any one group or other?
This is Pathways to Practice, only on the NCARB podcast. Please follow the link in the show notes, subscribe now, and join us as we explore the future of architectural licensure.
Hi.
Nope.
Hot.
Today.
Oh, wait. We got to do this first.
Oh, yeah.
That came in real hot.
Hi. Yeah, like that.
Jeez. Sorry, Maura, for your ears.
Yeah, poor Maura.
Okay.
Welcome to season 11 of She Builds Podcast, where we share stories about women in the design and construction field, one lady at a time.
This season, we were inspired by the number 11, which is basically a pair of ones. So this season's theme is pairs or duos. We are talking about ladies who are just a part of a professional pair in some fashion.
As always, we are not experts. We are just sharing stories about the information that we find, as friends having a fun conversation. If you find an error, send us an email and we will all continue learning together.
Today, we're talking about Ann Ting, first licensed woman architect in Pennsylvania and longtime collaborator with Louis Kahn. I'm Nerjiri Rivas, being more social by joining a bocce league in Houston, Texas.
Hi, I'm Jessica Rogers, doing some activities with a new group of friends based out of Miami, Florida.
Hey there, I'm Lizzie Rahr, killing it at Trivia, where we won 2 weeks in a row in San Francisco.
Oh, snap.
Good job.
That's right.
We got a lot of room to cover today, so put on your seatbelts. We're going fast and furious.
Oh, okay, I'm ready.
Let's do this.
The time was July 14, 1920. The place, Jiangxi, China. Anne, with an E, Griswold Ting, was born. Don't be fooled into thinking she's Chinese. That's something I'd done before. Anne's parents were Ethel Atkinson, née Ahrens, and Walworth Ting, American Episcopalian missionaries stationed in China.
Okay, that's good clarification. Her parents' names sound real white.
Interesting.
And don't let their job description of missionaries fool you into thinking these people were from modest means.
Oh.
Also a mistake I made before. No. These people came from an elite family in Boston. So elite that Anne's ancestor, Anne Ting, has a portrait just casually hanging out in Boston's Museum of Fine Arts.
Whoa. Okay. I'm getting a picture of what we're working with here. Listen.
Yeah. This totally changed my initial impressions. I was thinking humble beginnings.
Yep.
None of that.
Yep.
None of that.
None of that. So Anne grew up in Asia, but she and her family went on trips to the U.S. often. Anne had been interested in design from a young age. She used to carve cities out of the soft stone and landscape around her family's properties.
Oh, that's cool. Kind of like building a sandcastle, but subtractive.
Yeah.
And I'm sure traveling also aided in her love for design, too.
Yeah,
that's true. When Anne was 18, she decided to go to college in the United States to study fine arts. So she lands at Radcliffe College. Do you remember if we've talked about this college before? Or are any of our past ladies from that school? That's a trick question.
Well, I hope that they listen to these episodes.
I mean, last week, our girl Ellen Biddle Shipman went there, so.
There you go.
That's right.
But it is one of the historically female New England schools that we've talked about in the past, including last week.
Correct. Ding, ding, ding. Okay, let's talk about it a little more. The Radcliffe College actually started out as a society for the collegiate instruction of women, also known as the Harvard Annex in 1879. It was known as that because since Harvard didn't allow women to attend the university, Elizabeth Carey Agassiz started her own higher education school, affiliated to Harvard. In 1894, they rebranded to Radcliffe College. So that's the story of Anne's and Ellen's alma mater.
Gotcha.
Okay, I don't know why I didn't put two and two together from last week. And now I know why the school also sounds familiar. Not because of Ellen, but because of the Julia Roberts movie, Mona Lisa Smile. Because... it's about this school.
Yes.
It's also one of my favorite movies. I mean, it has Julia Stiles, Julia Roberts, Maggie Gyllenhaal, and Kristen Dunst. Oh, so there you go.
Great connections, yes.
Yep, great connections. Great connections all around.
During her last year in school, she learned about the Cambridge School of Architecture and Landscape Architecture. This place was novel, y'all. It was the first institution to teach design training to women only. Apparently, no boys allowed.
That's right.
Hmm. Take that, ex-wires. So, she started taking classes there.
Well, that's awesome. I have wondered about doing an episode about that school because there were a lot of ladies to come out of that institution, and particularly some landscape architects as well.
Mm. Yeah, that sounds like a great charrette for you. I look forward to it, Lizzie.
Okay, well, we'll see.
I had no idea about this school, so that's cool.
Okay, back to Anne. She graduated with a bachelor's degree from Radcliffe College in 1942.
Yeah.
Then during World War II, Harvard allowed women to attend school because Harvard needed monies.
Yep, gotta get that tuition money.
Yep.
Anne took full advantage of this opportunity. She went to architecture school at Harvard, where she had professors like Walter Gropius, Marcel Breuer, and episode 24, Catherine Bauer. No big deal.
They're just a casual list of professors, you know? But good for Anne. Take the opportunity.
Yeah. Also, shout out to Catherine Bauer and those other guys.
In 1944, when she graduated from Harvard, she was among the first group of women that could put that on their resume.
Yay!
Oh, that's so awesome.
After graduating, she struggled to get a job. She wasn't taken seriously because, surprise, surprise, she had two X chromosomes. Within the span of a year, she worked at three different design firms, and two of them were not architecture firms.
Ugh, that's so sad that she couldn't find a job, and yet also not surprising.
Ugh, that must have been so frustrating.
One of those firms... those design firms was Knoll Associates.
Wait.
Knoll as in Knoll?
Yep. Knoll as in Knoll.
Ah!
O-M-G.
Wee-oo.
A year later, she landed in Philadelphia. There, she started working at the firm Storonoff and Kahn.
Kahn as in Kahn?
You're two for two.
Oh, yeah.
Before going any further in the story, I should mention that Anne had a lifelong interest in geometric patterns and designs. This stemmed from her passion for mathematics, and it all led her to focus on space frame architecture and the structural possibilities of basic geometries, like triangles, for example. Using interlocking geometric forms, she created an architecture full of light. So, yeah, she was influencing the designs of the firm Storonov and Kahn with her design theories.
Oh, that's such an interesting connection, but makes sense how patterns in mathematics would transfer to space frames.
Ooh, I see what's happening.
Yeah, and there are such cool examples of this. A famous one is the Yale University Art Gallery. I've seen it referred as Art Center, but the actual name is Gallery, according to the internet. The project ran from the late 1940s until 1953. Okay, this project is a glass and brick building with a complex ceiling of concrete tetrahedra over oak flooring. But this ceiling is 100% where it's at, and it has Ann Ting written all over it.
Yes. Okay. We studied this building in school a lot. It is very well known. I love the ceiling in this building. But Nerjadi, let's talk about how when we learned about this in school, we only learned about Louis Kahn designing it. So talk to me about Anne being involved and how they didn't tell us the full story. Because now that you talk about the math thing, it makes perfect sense. But no one mentioned that when we learned about it.
Exactly. We were always told that this was Kahn's work. But as soon as Nerjadi mentioned Anne's interest in geometry, it all made sense. We should have known.
Yeah.
Come on, schools. Do better.
I mean, I know it's his firm, but listen.
No.
Mm-mm. Yeah. Actually, you're going to learn and notice very quickly that this was the case for many projects.
Ugh.
It is well documented that it was Anne's research in geometry that led the design decisions that we admire of many of these famous projects. But like Lizzie said, because it was not her name on the door, because she was a woman, because all the work gets attributed solely to Kahn.
Let's sigh. Well, today we are righting those wrongs.
That's right.
We are. It is said that she was influenced by class act Buckminster Fuller, who she had been studying from at the University of Pennsylvania. I couldn't find when she started studying, so that will remain a mystery to us.
Bucky!
Bucky!
You know how our ladies like to keep themselves beyond busy? Like, seriously, beyond.
Yes.
For real.
I'm familiar.
Yep.
Anne was no exception to this. In 1947, at the age of 27, Anne invented and put on the market the Ting Toy, a modular kit available in three sizes, small, medium, and large. Depending on which one you bought, you would get 6 to 26 pieces. The pieces, which included plywood and dowel pins, could be assembled into various items, such as a stool, a rocking horse, a cart, or desk, and a lot of other possibilities. There was a lot. Anne's creativity, grasp of geometry, and how different pieces come together, as seen with the Ting Toy, is something she carried into all her design work. And the Ting Toy was exhibited at the Walker Art Center in Minneapolis, the ICA in Boston, and the Denver Children's Museum.
Okay, let's add toy invented to the list.
This is so cool. I love that she created this toy, which sounds really fun, first of all. Second, I can see how her love of geometry and things fitting together informed this toy in addition to her designs. Can we still find the toy today?
Unfortunately, from what I could tell, it is no longer commercially sold.
Ugh.
Maybe eBay?
Mm. Just checked. No dice. But I did see images, and it looks really cool.
Mm.
Doesn't it?
Yeah, looks cool.
Okay, back to architecture. You know what else happened in 1947?
What?
Louis Kahn and Oskar Storonov parted ways. Louis got a big enough commission to start his own firm, the Samuel Radbill Building. And Anne was working on that as well as a bunch of other projects like the Yale Art Gallery with Louis. So she stayed with him.
Oh, yeah. You can't leave that behind.
Oh, yeah.
Let's dive into the Samuel Radbill building. It is not very well known, but those who do know say it was sort of the Yale Art Gallery before the Yale Art Gallery. Oh. There, Anne and Louis explored the same ideas of structure and function as generator of form, structure as ornament. The entry pavilion has Anne written all over it. It's basically a big triangular form, and we know our girl is all about the basic geometry.
Mm. Our girl loves these shapes, and I'm happy we brought up structure as ornament. I feel like we've heard that phrase before, and I've always associated it with con, but now it's more of an Anne thing than a con thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it was their thing, sure. You know, but sure. We know that she's
inspiring it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very sadly, this building fell into disarray and was demolished in 2021. They are building a new hospital on the same site. They tried to renovate the building, but with the building in such bad shape and way more stricter codes in place now than in the 1940s, it just made more sense to tear it down and start anew. Still, it's pretty sad to have lost such an important piece of history.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's sad.
At this point, Anne was probably thinking, hey, I made a ridiculously awesome toy. I'm working on these amazing, innovative architecture projects. It's time I get my license. A woman taking the architecture licensing exam sounds like no big deal, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I think it should be no big deal, but at this point in history, it was kind of a big deal.
Exactly. At the time, it was a huge deal, and not in a good way.
Oh.
She was the only woman taking the exam, and she had to face hostility from a proctor.
Mm.
He turned his back to her and refused to give her the test.
Ugh.
But haters gon' hate. They could go ahead and hate all day long as Anne becomes the first woman licensed in architecture in the state of Pennsylvania.
Oh my gosh. Openly trying to stop her from taking the exam is wild. Like, if the state allows her to take it, sir, it's not your job to take these things into your own hands. Oh my gosh. Okay, but way to go, Anne, for getting through that and getting her license. Stand strong.
Right? I just don't understand why the proctor was so against it. Like, I'm sorry. Who is hurting? Like, why the hatred and animosity? But screw you, proctor and naysayers, and thank you, Anne, for pulling through.
Anne said in an interview that she was the only woman in the United States to take the architecture licensing exam that year.
Wow. That's sad, but not surprising. Ugh.
That's crazy.
Well, she's licensed, and I couldn't find an exact date of when this happened, but I know she also made partner at Kahn's firm.
Oh, hey.
Great job, Anne.
Let's end this episode here on a high note. She's an accomplished toy designer, licensed architect, and partner at an architecture firm. We will continue her story next week. Despite me trying really hard to be concise, there was just way too much I wanted to share about Anne. So here we are. We're going to stop now.
Yeah, she already did so much. This is only halfway.
It is.
All right. Let's keep the party going with another one.
Yeah, I gotta say thank you to Lizzie, who convinced me to make this episode a two-parter instead of me spending even more time than I already had trying to edit. I think Anne is the lady that took me the longest to research and put together this whole season. I was just really fascinated by the work that she did. So next week, we're gonna dive into details of a few of my favorite projects of hers.
You're welcome. I mean, we don't want to cut her story short, so we gotta give her a bit more time.
Agreed. As much as I'm dying to know what happens next, this just gives us more time to learn more about her and her work. So tune in next week. Ah, so excited.
All right. Now we have reached the second part of our episode, the caryatid. A caryatid is a stone carving of a woman used as a column or a pillar to support the structure of a Greek or Greek-style building. In each episode, we choose a Caryatid, a woman who is working today, furthering the profession through their work, and who ties into the historical woman of our episode. Drum roll, please.
Raha Ashrafi and Marzia Saad.
Yeah.
Raha and Marzia.
Yeah.
That's right. Today we have two for the price of one.
Woo. Wow.
Raha Ashrafi and Marzia Saad are the co-founders of the firm Ashrafi and Saad Design.
Yeah.
Cool.
Raha Ashrafi is an award-winning architect from Iran. She has a Master's of Architecture from the University of Melbourne, Australia, and she also studied Sustainable and Environmental Design at Stuttgart University in Germany. Marzia Saad is also an award-winning architect from Iran. She has had a varied academic career with a Bachelor of Architecture from the University of Tehran and an MArch from Institute for Advanced Architecture of Catalonia, aka IAAC.
Lots of credentials.
Yeah. Such international students, too.
Yeah.
We haven't gotten to this part of the story yet, but next time you'll learn Anne was a professor. So stay tuned to learn where.
Oh.
Well, Marzia is a professor, too. Marzia is a part of the faculty at her alma mater, IAAC. And she also has taught at the University, San Jose State University, and the University of Oregon.
Impressive.
Okay, spoiler alert about Anne. But this is also cool about these ladies.
The reason I was drawn to these two ladies today is because I came across an article in Architizer, 50 Women Rocking the World of Architecture. And one of the ladies highlighted is Raha. There, she is mentioned as a co-founder of the firm United Design Architects, UDA. And during her time at said firm, she worked on the Hamadan Chamber of Commerce that is, fingers crossed, going to be constructed by 2027. The design of this institutional structure is based on mathematical principles inspired by the legacy of Persian geometric theory, as quoted from Architizer. This complex exudes rationality and order.
I mean, this sounds like our girl Anne.
Doesn't it?
Yep.
So, I was like, geometric theory, rationality, and order. Yeah, this is a Caryatid. So I started looking into her, and I learned that she has moved on from the firm that she started, UDA, and she started another firm with her friend. No big deal, as always. And I learned that her co-founder, Marzia, is all about lightweight structures, geometry, and computational design as they relate to space and identity. This is also Anting's jam right there.
Yeah, wow. They're both giving hardcore Anne vibes.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, just two peas in a pod.
Yeah, so I was like, okay, they both need to be Caryatids. I really appreciate this quote from Ashrafi and Saad Design website. We focus on how advanced design techniques and technological innovation can benefit and empower communities, how to make our built environments more inclusive, and how architecture can offer opportunities for transformation through representation, respecting the stories of people and place, and offering a sense of belonging and identity.
I love this. It sounds like they're doing really great work.
Yes, I really like this. Such a great pick for Caryatids. Their work sounds amazing.
Yeah, you should check out their website. It's pretty cool.
Nice.
Before we say goodbye, we want to say thank you to CMYK for the music, John W., our technical advisor, and most of all, thank you for listening.
Remember to check out our show notes for links to all of our resources on this episode, as well as pictures of projects we've talked about.
We hope you enjoyed learning about today's lady and Caryatid along with our banter, and that you are inspired to find out more about them and other amazing professional ladies.
Please let us know what you thought of our episode. If you've enjoyed it, please help us spread the word. Tell your friends, colleagues, sisters, and brothers, and tell them to give us 5 stars on iTunes and Spotify, and write us a review. This will all help us reach a wider audience and for more people to learn about these amazing ladies with us.
Your support means everything to us. If you've enjoyed our content and want other ways to help us with our mission, you can support us by visiting our website for merchandise.
If you don't need any more swag, but you'd still like to consider supporting the research we're doing, you can donate to us on our website, shebuildspodcast.com/donate. Or you can buy us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/shebuildspodcast. You can also find links to all of these items on our website.
She Builds Podcast is a member of the Gable Media Podcast Network. Gable Media is curated thought leadership for an audience dedicated to building a better world. Listen and subscribe to all the shows at gablemedia.com. That's GABLmedia.com.
We're excited to hear from you and for you to come back and keep learning about bosses with us. You can email us your thoughts at shebuildspodcast@gmail.com, leave a comment on our website at shebuildspodcast.com, or follow us on Instagram and Facebook at shebuildspodcast and on X at shebuildspod. Until then, see ya.
Bye.
Bye.
I'm loving this is so chromosome heavy in this episode.
I'm inspired by science.
Episode brought to you by science.
'Hey there, architecture enthusiast. Nikita Reed here, inviting you on an incredible journey through time and space with my podcast, Tangible Remnants. Historic preservation and sustainability? Let's go ahead right now and debunk the myth that they are opposites. In fact, they are two sides of the same coin, shaping our collective future.
In a work environment, it has been challenging because I've had to probably do more than double just to make sure that I quote unquote fit in. But the environments that have allowed me to do me on the front end, I've been extremely successful.
You look at all these PhDs, they've built that on the backs of our elders.
Absolutely.
What they consider themselves to be experts at is what they've worked with us to achieve.
I know we have to. We have to prioritize people before products and before place.
Join me as we unravel the stories of historic buildings shaped by the people of a specific era and often influenced by race and gender. These tangible remnants are windows into our past and guideposts for the future. Follow the link in the show notes to subscribe now to Tangible Remnants. Let's explore the interconnectedness of architecture, preservation, sustainability, race, and gender.